Welcome to the ABM Conversations Podcast, the number one podcast for B2B marketers wanting to explore timeless account-based marketing strategies to drive revenue, customer engagement, retention, and everything that makes sense to both marketers and sales folks. No more fluff. No more vanity metrics. Live from India, made for the world. And now your hosts, Yog and Manish.
There are several growth strategies such as sales-led growth, product-led growth, marketing-led growth, so on and so forth. And which one makes more sense? And that is why we thought we'll dabble across all of those in today's episode. This is me, your host, Yagneshwaran Ganesh.
And this is me, Manish Nepal.
All right, so we wanted to start off today's episode by drawing a parallel to the maxim that ABM is B2B marketing done right. Just like how all B2B marketing is also account-based marketing in some level, I believe every marketing is also growth marketing. That is, any marketing that does not contribute to growth isn't marketing at all. So it doesn't make sense for you to segment them into, you know, smaller entities such as digital marketing or advertising, social media marketing, content marketing, so on and so forth. So regardless of what name you give to the specialization of that marketing aspect that you're talking about, as long as you're taking a strategic approach, you know, being experimental or even continuously optimizing for growth and improving your bottom line, I think you're good.
And that's exactly the reason why we wanted to discuss the different levers of growth that your business can use to set your company on a path of growth. And we have clubbed it together in this beautiful episode today. But before we start, I want to make one thing absolutely clear to our listeners. And that is, the definition of growth can be subjective because it might mean growth in terms of revenue, growth in terms of number of users or company valuation or whatever it is that's important for your organization. Personally, I and Yag think that growth in terms of revenue or profit is the best kind of growth metric to go after, because if you can achieve profitable revenue, you can obviously achieve all other kinds of growth in the process as well. So let me begin with the first kind of growth avenue that maps directly to revenue and the one that we all are familiar with, that is the sales-led growth strategy. Now, what is a sales-led growth strategy? Sales-led growth is the growth strategy where your sales processes and teams take the driver's seat for driving your revenue. As simple as that. You can see that in the sales-led growth environment, the success of your company directly depends on how well the sales team performs. Obviously, the marketing team might still set the brand narrative, such as through branding or running high-impact campaigns, but it's always the sales team who have a bigger control and impact on the organization's bottom line. If I had to think of a few examples, I can say that Salesforce and Microsoft are two companies off the top of my head who have expanded their area of influence by flexing their sales muscles. And although being sales-led gives you a lot of control, like for instance, you can showcase what a prospect sees in a customized demo, what you can show them in during the demo, right? There's definitely a flip side to it. For example, the problem I see with sales-led growth is that it can lead to business silos, because sales team is always working separately from the marketing team or the customer support team. And here's an example of what I mean. In a typical sales-led scenario, the marketing team gathers leads and then they pass them on to the SDR team, who then qualify the leads and pass them further to the account executives, right? So you can imagine how fragmented that whole sales process is across the funnel, which naturally means you need a very tight alignment between sales and other teams involved in the sales process. And obviously, wherever there are humans, you are bound to have ego wars, tempers flaring, and psychological mind games being played across cross-functional teams. In other words, it's really, really hard to get everyone to align on the same mission of selling something to the world. What that also means is when one of the teams isn't functioning in sync, the whole process falters. The quality of lead goes down, the funnel starts leaking, or your deal closing rate starts to suffer. And that's why sales lead organizations have longer buying cycles, and it's mostly reserved within the realm of B2B domains. And unfortunately, sadly, it's also true that sales-led growth doesn't factor other aspects of business growth like customer service or customer success into account, which I think is a big letdown. And a usual scenario of this is the salespeople overpromising a lot of features or possibilities to prospective clients to get a deal across the line. But the customer success teams aren't always aware of this kind of overpromises, which is why they aren't able to live up to the promise, and therefore the customer retention takes a beating later in the process. Basically, what I'm trying to say is, in a traditional sales-led organization, the sales processes are very nuanced, it's very complicated, and it's subject to the whims and fancies of many people and teams.
Hey, absolutely love that, Manish. Great points. And what we said so far, I think it's certainly true about sales-led growth. But let's not forget that sales-led growth is perhaps the best growth strategy for service-based companies and also companies that sell highly technical products, or even consulting firms for that matter, which tend to be high-touch before you actually go on to sign up. Now, about the misalignment part, right? So the misalignment part between sales-led and other parts of the organization, I think has acted out as a boon for more people in the sense that, we have a full-fledged consulting role, people who come in and bring about alignment between marketing and sales. All right. So before I hop on further into this, let me move into the next growth lever for the day, that is product-led growth, which is popularly known as PLG. Simply put, as the name suggests, this growth strategy is led by the product itself and is probably one of the most popular growth strategies in the current times, even speaking objectively. That's because this is a growth model that is used by a lot of SaaS companies, especially companies of all sizes and shapes. So the idea is to build a fantastic product, then make the user experience really world-class and add a viral loop to your product and you're pretty much set. For example, when I say this, you can think of products like Slack, Netflix, Zoom, etc. Right? So their product experience is so good that as a user, you're not even thinking about their marketing or sales. And when your point of entry as a customer is the product itself, it means that these companies have a lower customer acquisition cost. That said, PLG fans, sometimes tend to go overboard and they say that the product sells for itself. And that is somewhere, I personally have a problem. As a marketer, I would never agree to that. I mean, yes, the product can be a growth lever, but it needs the support of marketing or sales to get started. Unless, your people are going to be aware of the product and what problem it solves for, PLG cannot come into play. I would rather say that PLG comes in to scale your user base. Maybe let's look at Zoom as an example. When you send out a Zoom invite to someone, they get to experience the product even though they might not be an existing user. And the same thing goes for Slack. If you want to be part of some marketing community, they send you a Slack invite and the virality quotient kicks in. The point is, you really don't need marketers or salespeople to distribute the product. And the sales cycles are almost always short in such cases. I mean, you're just signing up, right? So the best part about PLG is that it naturally extends to user activation, customer onboarding, customer success, and maybe even customer support to an extent as part of the product experience. So a quick example could be automatic paid upgrades or auto renewals of your product. And because the process is so well knit, there is very little room for sales and marketing misalignment. PLG, although it's common for both B2C and B2B, I think B2B products leverage it the most.
100%, Yarn. What you said about PLG having this virality designed into the product is so true, because the more you think about it, the more you see such examples around you. I mean, this whole PLG thing reminds me of all the collaboration and communication tools around us like Google Apps, Calendly, Typeform that have all grown exponentially because of the viral quotient built into their products, right? So the takeaways, if I had to recap from what you just said, is that product-led growth is a great fit for product-based companies. Obviously, you can't apply product-led growth to service-based companies. And number two is, it's a great strategy to go after if you want to kind of sidestep marketing and sales from your growth, because the product itself takes care of the sales and marketing functions. And what I also want to add to that is, we have covered PLG in much more detail in episode number 48 of the AVM Conversations podcast, where we talked to Stephanie Cox on the same topic. So to the listeners who want to binge on product-led growth further, you can either head over to that episode or read blogs on the same topic from OpenView Partners, who introduced the concept of PLG for the first time. Of course, you can also read books and blogs authored by Wes Buss, who is doing a tremendous job talking about product-led growth everywhere he goes. Now, moving on, the next growth strategy I want to talk about is that of founder-led growth, which I think is a relatively lesser-known growth strategy compared to SLG or PLG. And I believe it's not talked about so much because there aren't many instances of it except for outstanding geniuses like Elon Musk or Steve Jobs doing it. And that's precisely also the reason why this type of growth is also hard to replicate. Unless you are, say, Jason Fried of Basecamp or Hiten Shah of Kissmetrics or Gary Vee of your small business universe. And Steve Jobs is perhaps the best example of this kind of founder-led growth we are talking about because he single-handedly grew Apple to the decacorn that it was when he was still around. For example, Jobs made every Apple keynote event look like launching a rocket into the space. And Jobs also made each of these events a ceremony in itself, which helped the sales of iPads and iPhones go off the charts, right? And if you look around, Elon Musk is doing pretty much the exact same thing right now with Tesla cars and Cybertruck and the solar panel roofs. I mean, all he does is tweet a photo of the Cybertruck on Twitter before it's even launched to the market, and the bookings for the weird-looking vehicles go off the roof. And I think that's crazy. Not a lot of people can do that. While founder-led growth might not make sense for most of us, it definitely teaches a very important lesson about the value of personal branding. And the lesson is that if you already have an influence or if you have built an audience in your niche, chances are you can extrapolate some of that success to the business that you are growing or you're going to found.
Right. So that is something to definitely think about. And I think one of the reasons why founder-led growth is so successful with the companies that you mentioned is the fact that, you know, they have good branding as a founder. I mean, because they are a great brand, it also has an impact on the kind of investment they can bring in, the valuation, and overall it leads to a virtuous cycle. By the way, Manish, you know what? It's interesting that you never spoke about the importance of having a quality product through your sermon on that founder-led growth. And on a lighter note, maybe you're right, but the recent iPhone comes without a charging adapter. But hey, it's Steve Jobs' Apple. And yet you and I are Apple users ourselves. Well, now that I have poured my heart out, let me peacefully segue into the next growth lever, that is marketing-led growth. As the name suggests, it is growth driven by marketing. And it is somewhat parallel to the sales-led growth model that we spoke of earlier. I mean, if people are signing up for your product after consuming your content from blogs, ebooks, videos, then you're probably talking market-led. I mean, in today's time, where every domain is crowded with like 10 or more lookalike products, you being marketing-led means that you can establish a narrative to differentiate your brand from others. I mean, Drift and HubSpot are great examples. They work in an area where there are multitudes of similar products, but still they have their own story. But I personally think that Ahrefs is a classic example for marketing-led. A lot of people might put Ahrefs under the product-led bracket, but I think it is as much marketing-led as it is product-led. I mean, they don't even have a free trial. You have to pay $7 for a 7-day trial, and yet people sign up. Why? Because the people who sign up already, they clearly know that what they can expect from the tool. And that's because their marketing is so good. The product-led aspect kind of kicks in much later. And that is in terms of upgrades, expanding the user base, referrals, so on and so forth. So marketing-led model as such makes sense if you want to grow your branding or your organic footprint into the market. But let me warn you of something that I tend to talk about pretty much every time I get an opportunity to do that. The thing is, never ever assume that people who download your ebooks, have an intent to buy your product and never pass on those as leads to your sales team. Sales qualified leads any day are valued or are much better than marketing qualified leads. By sales qualified, I mean the ones that go onto your website and specify their interest for a demo or want to discuss with your sales team. And remember, this is coming from me, a marketer. And however good your marketing is, it can never compensate for bad products. So no matter who your founder or CEO is, if your product sucks, it will come and bite you in the back. I just have one issue with marketing-led though. It focuses too much on customer acquisition than the user activation or the customer retention aspect. So that is why I believe that, you know, the marketing-led and the sales-led aspect that we discussed before are complementary to PLG than contesting with it.
Wow, we certainly covered a lot of ground, discussing all of these growth strategies. And there definitely are a few other growth strategies that we didn't even touch on, like customer-led growth, which I think is inherently a part of all the growth marketing strategies that we discussed today. But the takeaway that we want to leave our listeners with today is you can really pick the one that works best for you, based on the many variables in your organization or in your niche, right? But given the times that we live in right now, we think it makes sense to bet heavily on product-led growth more than sales-led or founders-led or marketing-led growth. But that's just us. We want to hear from you though. If you have a different point of view or if you think we missed an important insight in today's episode, so hit us up on LinkedIn or DM one of us if you want to discuss this topic further. Until then, and until the next episode comes out, this is bye from me, Manish.
And this is bye from me, Yag. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the ABM Conversations Podcast. Make sure you subscribe and share your comments with us. We're constantly looking for your feedback, thoughts, and suggestions to make the show more relevant to you.